Well, he was a sheep herder, railroad brakeman, a cowboy, homesteader, and a prankster. This French-Canadian was a true pioneer of Hot Springs County, Wyoming. Pioneers of outlaw country, cowboys, lawmen, and outlaws, to the businessmen and women who all helped shape Thermopolis in Hot Springs County, Wyoming. Here are their stories. David Pickard, cowboy prankster.
Dancing until midnight and beyond, loud live music and stomping feet, babies piled under chairs, and in any conceivable space available. It was the ingredients for the perfect joke. I am your host, Jackie Dorothy, and today we are traveling back to the late 1800s of Wyoming, where dances were held on remote ranches and in local schoolhouses. Neighbors would travel from miles around to enjoy the live music, good food, and company of each other before heading home to their lonely lives on the plains.
The four ladies right of the ring, and at first you balance, then you swing them all. You hear my call, you take the gentleman promenade all.
These dances could go into the early morning and, on occasion, for several days. The smallest children would be stowed away under tables and chairs to sleep while their parents enjoyed the dance and lively music. In 1902, Owen Wister described one such dance in his best-selling novel, The Virginian.
The Virginian passed through the storeroom behind the kitchen, stepping lightly, least he should, rouse the 10 or 12 babies that lay on the table or beneath it. On Bear Creek, babies and children always went with their parents to a dance, because nurses were unknown. So little Alfred and Christopher lay there among the wraps, parallel and crosswise with little Taylors and little Carmody's and Lee's and all the Bear Creek offspring that was not able to skip at large and hamper its indulgent elders in the ballroom. Lynn McLean and the Virginian were standing in that place set apart for the sleeping children. Just at this moment, one of the two babies that were stowed beneath a chair uttered a drowsy note. A much louder cry, indeed a chorus of lament, would have been needed to reach the ears of the parents in the room beyond. Such was the noisy volume of the dance. But in this quiet place, the light sound caught Mr. McLean's attention, and he turned to see if anything were wrong. But both babies were sleeping peacefully.
Babies, aren't they? Never saw so many mavericks in my life.
Them's the kids. And some of them's waiting to be christened. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 Beautiful sleeping angels. Say, it'd be funny if they got mixed up. And some of them was christened wrong, wouldn't it?
The ornery low-down horse thief, you.
Oh, he said it'd be funny.
Get busy before the parson goes to work.
Wonder what these little firemen think about all day long.
Not a gall darn thing. Oh, young fellow, this is apt to change your whole life.
Peacefully, you little maverick.
you women have got to drive all night to get home. So let's christen the babies now.
Come right in here, folks, if you want to see the ceremony.
Here's the christening water fountain. It's perfectly clean, been boiled and stained for a new sock.
Fine. The child, please. Name the child.
Charles
Augustus Jasper.
Charles Augustus, I christened thee.
Oh, well, wait a minute. Why, that ain't Charles Augustus. That's one of Uncle Huey's dress.
What? Here. Oh, come to your ball, lay your night out.
No, not lay this. Charles Augustus.
Charles Augustus, nothing.
But I've just christened it.
Then you'll unchristen him.
Oh, it can't be done.
You unchristen this child or you don't get another nickel out of me.
Really, I...
This was the most notorious cowboy prank known throughout the world. Gary Cooper, a famous actor and heartthrob in the 1930s and 40s, had his breakout role playing this prank on the bewildered mothers of the fictionist Bear Creek.
Aren't you ashamed of yourself, treating those poor babies that way?
Well, you see, I heard that some of them was female, so I had them introduced all around.
I think your conduct is disgraceful.
Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am.
I suppose you're proud of yourself, playing a trick like that on those poor mothers.
No, ma'am. Yes.
I suppose you call yourself a grown-up, responsible man.
Yes. Yes. No, ma'am.
Well, you act as if you were a child.
Yes. No, ma'am.
Is that all you've got to say for yourself?
No, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
I don't think you're a bit funny.
In his Western, The Virginian, Owen Wister wrote in length about this baby-swapping prank and other anecdotal stories. Between 1885 and 1895, this Philadelphian son of a well-to-do family had kept journals of his adventures as a tenderfoot tourist in Wyoming. The young Harvard student and lawyer recorded stories of what he himself witnessed or that were shared with him over the campfire. Soon after the novel's release in 1902, eager residents of Thermopolis, Wyoming, scoured the book for incidences and characters that Wister had based his stories on to see who they knew between the pages. Within weeks of the publication, people began to claim that they knew who the prankster was. People who knew Owen Wister personally, such as Elizabeth Short, told historian Dora McGrath that the prank happened in the rural countryside of Hot Springs County. Although the location varied with each telling, from the Gooseberry Ranch to the Lost Cabin, all fingers pointed to one culprit, David Pickard. David Pickard was a likable, hardworking rancher with a heavy French accent. He was a year younger than Owen Wister, and they could have even met. At the time that Wister was roaming the countryside as a rich gentleman of leisure, Pickard was cowboying, herding sheep, and trying to build up a homestead on the remote Bridger Creek, a stage stop on the way to Thermopolis. Born in 1861 in Canada, Dave Pickard had run away from his family and 12 siblings when he was just 13 years old to work in a logging camp. From there, he ended up on an immigrant train and herded sheep in Laramie's Shirley Basin. After working for a time as a brakeman for the railroad and deciding that it was too dangerous, he headed for Kane, Wyoming to be a cowboy. On the way, he stopped at Lost Cabin and ended up working for a ranch, making the area his permanent home. Over the years as a cowboy, sheepman, and rancher, Pickard grew to know nearly all of the outlaws in the hole-in-the-wall gang and counted many of them as friends. During the Wilcox train robbery and other sprees, his ranch became one of their relay stops when they needed to make a quick getaway. In 1892, during the Johnson County Wars, he was on the opposite side of the feud between wealthy cattle barons and small homesteaders as that of Owen Wister, who was friends with the leaders of the invaders. Along with his best friend and future brother-in-law, Vince Hayes, Pickard was ready to go fight the infamous invaders and defend his friend, Nate Champion. However, the battles were over before the young men made it over the Bighorns to Buffalo, and Champion had been killed in an ambush.
Gentlemen, swing your corner, girl, you swing her round and round. Swing the next one down the line, you bounce her up and down.
On this particular day, cattle wars were the farthest thing from the young Frenchman's mind. Pickard was at a dance, according to researcher and historian Sister Mary Crass, at Gooseberry, a remote ranch land famous for its sheep. Located in the Bighorn Basin between Meteetse and Thermopolis, the region was ruled by the sheep kings and queens who would host social events to break the monotony of everyday life on the plains. From the Gooseberry Ranch, Sister Crass writes, comes the story of the changing of the baby's clothes. While the mothers were enjoying a dance held there, Dave Pickard, a cowboy, played a prank which caused hours of confusion. With quiet dexterity, he changed the clothing of the babies in such a variety of ways that it took hours before the mothers could undress them and put them back into their own clothing. Another account has Dave Pickard attending a gala in Lost Cabin with his wife and children, where a practical joke was pulled on a few of the parents. All the children were sleeping in another room while the adults were dancing until daylight. The unnamed prankster wrapped the children with blankets and mixed them up. One dance-weary mother had gotten all the way home before she realized that she had the wrong child.
Throw up your chin, throw out your chest, and bust the buttons right off your vest. Now here's your partner, swing her around, roll them around.
Owen Wister himself claims not to know the true origin of the prank. In 1893, Wister and Harry Groom, a contemporary and fellow Philadelphian, went to Texas for a vacation on the ranch of Fitzhugh Savage, also a Philadelphian. In an excerpt from his lengthy entry for February 21st, Wister wrote, "One of the neighbors here, Jim Neal, is fond of putting up jokes on strangers, and one evening when he took supper here, Groom and I tried to make ourselves out in conversation more ignorant of the West than we are, hoping to draw some stories from Mr. Neal. But we drew nothing. He is always after Thornton, it seems, and on one occasion told him this story. They had a dance somewhere. One of the regulation dances where the babies are all brought and piled in a corner while their parents jump about to music. After the thing had been going full swing, some unknown person got the babies and changed all their clothes, putting the linen of Mrs. Jones' little boy upon Mrs. Smith's little girl, and so on. In the dim light, nobody noticed, and all went home with the wrong baby. Next morning, there was the devil to pay, and for a week, the whole countryside was busy exchanging and identifying babies. Thornton believes this for a fact. Savage told me it was all Neal's invention. I maintain Neal's invention is not up to that high level, and that he read the story somewhere. The other day, he was over here again before I was up in the morning, and I shouted out to Savage to tell Neal that he got the baby story out of the back of an almanac, which Savage did. Neal responded that it must be in the almanac for next month then, but he admitted that he had heard the story down at San Saba. To devise a trick of that completeness clean out of your head while you were talking to an Englishman would indicate most unusual powers, and I think that if the thing did not actually occur, somebody thought of doing it while they were actually at a dance with a pile of babies in sight. Then the flight of imagination would be one of which even I might be capable. Over the years, others have claimed to be the prankster or to know where the prank occurred. One young woman, the great aunt to Gary Kellogg, said she and another girl helped David Pickard switch the baby's clothes. Some say the culprit was William Hines, a Casper cowboy who switched just two children, a boy and girl, which their parents didn't catch until they were 80 miles apart. Other reports from the 1930s said that the place the baby swapping prank took place was at the Goose Egg Ranch. Historian Alfred Mochler denied that this was true and wrote an article for the Casper Tribune stating that the Virginian was fiction, not fact. Mochler wrote, "The Virginian is a novel, a fictionist narrative, a feigned and invented story, a fabrication, a product of the imagination, and nothing more is claimed for by its author." In the preface for The Virginian, Wister says that he has purposely changed the names of people, ranches, creeks, and mountains, and he warns the readers of his very interesting story that his description of the country is not correct, nor are all the events mentioned supposed to be true. Here is a brief history, a record of facts concerning the Virginian. Owen Wister was a friend of Judge J. L. Torrey of the M-Bar Cattle Company. In the early 90s, the two men spent a summer together at the company's headquarters on Owl Creek in the vicinity of Thermopolis. Wister was a good mixer and spent much of his time with the M-Bar Cowboys, who delighted to relate to him many stories and legends covering the events and experiences of cowboys from the Panhandle in Texas to the Muscle Shell in Montana. Many of these stories were as highly colored as the cowboys could paint them. Wister collaborated, amplified, embellished these stories, and they were published as semi-historic in book form. But the book did not take and was a financial failure. The author returned to the Owl Creek country the following summer and collected all the romantic stories that the cowboys told around the camp. Added to these stories, the author exercised his own imaginative powers, and The Virginian was produced, which brought him fame as an author and made for him a fortune. The setting of the story is supposed to be in Wyoming, but the events, highly colored as before stated, occurred in Texas, Kansas, Nebraska, Wyoming, Montana, and other states where the cowboys were employed. There are several ladies of Casper who positively claim that they were the babies who had their clothing changed by the two drunken cowboys, and the change was not noticed by their mothers when their cloaks and hoods were put on them and they were tucked away in the buggies and were taken home, and it was not until their mothers commenced to undress them to get them ready for bed that the discovery was made that they had brought home with them their own baby's clothing, but not their own baby. It may not be polite or diplomatic to say that this baby mix-up never occurred at the Goose Egg Ranch house or any other house, but sober thought and common sense will tell anyone that the whole story is unfounded. Can anyone imagine a dozen mothers gathering up a dozen babies and putting their hoods and cloaks on them and not one of them discovering that the baby was not their own? It is safe to say that there is not one mother in 100, but who would make the discovery the first second she had the child in her arms. The whole story is preposterous and contrary to reason, instinct, and nature. A father might have done such a thing if John Barleycorn had deadened his senses, but never a mother. The Goose Egg Ranch house, now deserted, dilapidated, and fast going to ruin, nevertheless is an interesting place to visit, and many people go out there during the summer months. The author, me, stopped there one Sunday afternoon last September, and there were two young couples going through the house. One of the young ladies inquired if I was acquainted with the author of The History of Natrona County, who said there was no truth in the story of the barbecue, the dance, and the change being made in the babies. Yes, I knew the author of the history slightly, I said. Well, if I could meet him, I would tell him what I thought of him for trying to be so smart, she said. If I see him, I will tell him for you, I said. And she never knew, and never will, unless she reads this. But Central Wyoming is not alone in its claim of possessing the old house where the exciting episodes occurred as described in the Virginian. Northwestern Nebraska, not satisfied with taking the water from the Platte River that of right should belong to Central Wyoming and building up a prosperous agricultural country, while the land of Wyoming is as dry as the 18th Amendment to our Constitution, is now trying to take the Virginian story away from us and thus blast the claims, popularity, and notoriety of our cowboy, who would be the Virginian, and our matrons, who would be the babies that were exchanged. Just read Nebraska's claim. Many of the incidents contained in the Virginian by Owen Wister were the experience of the people in the panhandle of Nebraska and eastern Wyoming 30 years ago, according to History of Western Nebraska. One of the stories told that of the pranks of two cowpunchers at a dance, says the author. While the mothers of a number of sleeping infants were dancing, the boys changed the wraps which the babies wore and changed their positions to the end that when the dance broke up, most of the parents started home with the wrong baby. As the discoveries were not made until the parents were at home, in some cases 20 miles from the scene, it took considerable time to straighten out the tangle of who was who in Babyland. Thus concludes Historian Mokler. Now, you are left with the question, was it just a cowboy tall tale? Or perhaps David Pickard, a young cowboy with a French accent, seized an opportunity to pull a prank in remote Wyoming that became legendary.
Thank you for listening to Pioneers of Outlaw Country. Be sure to subscribe as you don't want to miss a single episode of this historic series. The stories of our pioneers are brought to you by Hot Springs County Pioneer Association. This program has been made possible through a grant from Wyoming Humanities. This was a production of Legend Rock Media.